Wars guy.
That would be pretty cool because all these other cars are like, because if you see Anakin, you're like, okay, he may be a Jedi. He may know what he's doing. But if you see this little boy, they're like, holy crap, man. What just happened above me?
In this episode, Ahsoka and Padme kill people over flatware, share a nod, a wink, and a secret, and finally discuss everyone's favorite topic, banking regulations. We'll discuss a comic, a webisode, and Clone Wars 310 in this edition of the 11 Parsecs podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode 42 of the 11 Parsecs podcast. My name's Eric. I'm here with my good buddy, John.
Hello.
And we are coming to you to discuss kind of an array of things tonight, I think. I feel like we got one Forces of Destiny comic, one Forces of Destiny webisode. I guess they're going to be called webisodes because I think they actually initially aired on the web, and then now they're on Disney Plus. And then another Clone Wars episode. We're still slowly making our way through Clone Wars. So,
it's like a Star Wars potpourri.
It is. It's a little bit nicer because we've been stuck in these like kind of 2 to 3 episodes of Clone Wars every podcast, and we need to branch out a little bit just to start covering other stuff and also to keep our sanity when watching all this stuff. What are you drinking tonight, John?
So I'm very excited about this. I have my first question to you is this: why would you have a can that is 19.2 ounces?
19.2?
Yeah, it's not like a, you know, giant can. It's just a tall can.
I don't know. Is it the same circumference as a normal can?
It is, and that's going to come into play later.
So that would be what, anyway, a pint and 7.2 ounces?
It's 1 pint, 3.2 ounces.
3.2, okay.
So no idea what 19.2 ounces, how that comes into play, except I did do some research.
Okay.
And apparently, this is the tallest, biggest can you can have that has a standard can top.
Really?
So it's apparently a manufacturing thing. And get this, they're called Stovepipe Bright. That's the name of the can.
Stovepipe Bright.
Yes, like a Stovepipe Bright.
I'm trying to get it. Okay, when we get done with this podcast, will you take a picture of it next to a normal can just to get, like, I'm trying really hard to imagine it. It almost sounds like two cans stacked on top of each other. Almost.
It's almost two cans on top of each other, but it's like, you know, 1 2/3 cans.
All right, what is this mystery beer?
So this is Sierra Nevada's Atomic Torpedo Imperial IPA.
Atomic Torpedo Imperial IPA.
You know the torpedo.
Yeah, you know the torpedo.
Yeah. This is Atomic Torpedo.
What's the percentage?
This is going to sink all the ships in the fleet.
What is the percentage?
9.2, my friend.
Yeah, that's pretty stout. So help me out here. Sierra Nevada had some problems recently, didn't they? Are they still a company?
I've not heard anything like that.
Maybe I could totally be confusing it with another brewery, and I'll look this up and put it in the show notes.
I mean, locally, Pontoon, as I think you know, is closing.
Right. I thought it was some big brewery that I was like, whoa, they're in trouble. Maybe it wasn't.
Thinking of Bud Light. Was it Bud Light?
It
you
was
were thinking
like
of?
It's Bevin or Bevins or InBevs.
InBev.
Yeah, something like InBev. That. Yeah, yeah, I think they were the ones having problems. Tiny brewery, probably. Probably only like.
That's like saying beer. the beer industry is having a problem. Seriously. Okay.
Well, tonight, I am venturing away from my normal, and I think you've actually had this on the podcast before, but I'm drinking a sour. Which is very rare for me. I don't drink sours a lot. Every now and then I'll find one that I like, but I usually do not drink sours. But it's the Tropical Staycation. Have you had this one on the show before?
I don't do sours. I did one sour that I can recall, and that was Golden Monkey Sour, Sour Monkey.
Yeah. Okay, maybe. I feel like I talked to you about Tropical Staycation. But anyways, it's Scofflaw, so it's local.
Yeah, I think you've done this on the pod before.
No. I don't drink sours, usually.
That name rings a bell.
And I grabbed it. I grabbed the 6-pack, not realizing it was sours, had 2 of them, and was like, this is actually a pretty good sipping beer. I'll give you one next time you come over. All right, you ready to pop these?
Yes.
All right, and a 3, 2, 1. And I'm cavemanning it tonight in a glass.
Gotta have a glass.
But I will take a nice fat sip. Yeah, that is pretty darn good. Now, to be fair, I've been drinking them over the last week, so I kind of knew what I was getting into, but
I will I'll enjoy my beer in about 5 minutes.
Oh, is it a little bit foamy? The atomicness coming through on the bubbles?
Yes, it is an atomic foam head.
That's a good band name.
Atomic head. Yeah, that's pretty death right there. That's pretty
atomic foam head. All right, let's start off. Okay, let's start off with the Forces of Destiny comic. Okay, it's an IDW comic. I did not look up when it actually came out, but it's just called Padme and Ahsoka, and starts off kind of weird with Barriss fighting with Ahsoka, Barriss Offrey, who we've seen multiple times in the Clone Wars episodes, and they're practicing lightsabers, and they talk about how their masters are so different. I forget who Barriss's teacher is, but
Syndulla?
Yeah, Syndulla. That's who it was, yeah. Barriss's teacher, Syndulla, who teaches her a lot more of patience and wait for the right time to strike, that kind of thing, whereas Anakin's more along the lines of win at all costs, with Ahsoka. So,
impulsive as hell, yeah.
Yeah, impulsive as hell. And we'll talk about the Ahsoka show maybe later in the show, but you start to see that, throughout the series that we're watching now, and then also, later on down the line. So, the comic was okay. I have a really big problem with these IDW comics. I'm not a fan of the way they're drawn.
Oh, really?
Yeah, do you like it? I don't know. It just doesn't seem very detailed.
Seems fine.
Okay. All right.
I can understand that criticism. It doesn't seem very detailed. I agree. You're absolutely right. But I didn't think about that. It didn't bother me.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I enjoyed the whole time device on the table and all that kind of stuff. And we saw part of that with the... We know who the... what was it? What's the name of the race that can change shape? Zam Wessel was one of them. Trandoshans, I think, maybe? No, not Trandoshans. It's a species that we saw in... Man, was that episode one? Where, I think it's Zam Wessel. You see her get into the car, and she looks like a human female, and then suddenly she's like this like weird little like stub-nosed lizard thing.
You know that's episode two. You know it's episode
two. Oh, it is. You're right. It is episode two.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because we got Jango. Yeah, you're right.
Because Anakin's a man and not a little boy.
Yeah, fair enough. And also you got Jango who's like kind of sitting
up there
watching.
Replay that scene in your head. Put that scene back in your head and make it the little boy. That's hilarious.
If he was driving flying cars and jumping out and like falling.
Jumping and flying through the sky. Yeah.
That would be pretty cool because all these other cars are like. Because if you see Anakin, you're like, okay, he may be a Jedi. He may know what he's doing. But if you see this little boy, they're like, holy crap, man. What just happened above me? Are there more people that are going to be raining down?
One day soon, I sincerely hope that we will be able to type a prompt into an AI generator and I will have that scene in my computer.
Yeah. I think so. That would be excellent. And then you can make whole movies about it where you just like piece together the movie. And
oh, that's where we're going.
That's where we're going.
Star Wars with, Anthony Bourdain and Jabba the Hutt or something.
Anthony Bourdain.
Why not?
He's the Dexter Jetster guy where he's like, oh.
There you go. Oh, yeah. I didn't know about that.
Obi-Wan, so good to see you.
So Ahsoka throws her lightsaber, not even like activated, just throws her hilt at Barriss. That's what ticks her off. Barriss off.
Oh yeah, she would expect
it. You're so impulsive. Even though it worked in that moment, she says, "Well, that you would never do that for real." Of course, I think she probably would. But have we ever seen a Jedi do that before?
Throw a non-activated lightsaber? No, I don't think I have.
Inactivated lightsaber, just as a diversion, just any object, basically, just chuck it.
Well, let's be honest though. If you had an inactive lightsaber, you could throw it and then, assuming you're pretty powerful with the Force, actually guide it towards somebody's like eye or something, and it could hurt. I mean, it could actually hurt somebody even if the blade's not on.
Yeah, you're kind of blending the battle in Episode Two again. With the battle that I don't like to talk about in episode 8, where it's kind of activating and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, inactivate. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah,
we have not seen someone use a Jedi use their lightsaber hilt as a distraction.
No, not at all. Except, I'm trying to think if any of the Inquisitors have used theirs without the blade going on. I can't think of any. I can't recall that. They're not a Jedi, so it really doesn't matter. But I was just trying to wonder because they always had those kind of like cool looking blade hilts with like the rounded part going around.
The circles.
Yeah, so I always wondered if they could like do anything special with them or whatever. But yeah, no, I can't think of anything. Even going back to the really weird Visions episodes with the like lightsaber umbrellas and all that kind of stuff, there was still nothing that anybody did without the blade being out.
It's kind of what makes a lightsaber a useful thing. But she would say that this was very useful because it was just a distraction. That's all I needed. The funny part right after that is because Barriss says, you don't rely on forms and you should really stick to the forms. So Ahsoka goes back to her quarters, and apparently that is meant to look like her practicing forms.
Yeah, yeah, that's
it. It looks like she's just kind of wiggling around in her room, which is really strange.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. The art in this one's not all that.
There are way better ways to draw her practicing forms than just like having her kind of shake a little bit.
Yeah, and then like pull her hands back in, and you're like, what is she doing? Like, yeah. Yeah, I agree. That was a very weird panel. I agree with that.
That part was not well done.
Anyway, she busts the Trandoshan or whatever the species is, the Zamwessel species, and it's okay. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I want to say one thing about the alien race that they were supposed to have the dinner with, the Arthurians.
Yes, the Arthurians.
Right. What do we know about the Arthurians? They taste with their hands.
They taste with
other
their hands.
Other than that,
wear white to show authority.
Yes. Good. And they prize and demand etiquette, proper etiquette.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You know, one time, just one time, why don't they adhere to our etiquette? Why are we always having to hear me associating with myself with the Republic? Why do we have to adhere to their customs?
They're guests in our house, John.
Okay, fair enough.
No. I'm agreeing with you.
Fair enough.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying
it's
that they're
guests. It's meant to be a negotiation, right?
Yeah. It's they have not wanted to join because they think, I guess, the wording is supposed to spell out that they think they're a lesser people or that the Republic's a lesser group of people than they
You're
are.
You're just saying that because of how that Arthurian in that panel looks like she is so much better than you and her doesn't stink.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah.
She's like, oh, and she's not supposed to be looking at you unless she's talking to you, but she's not talking to you.
Look at Padme groveling, though, man. Everything has to be perfect. She's like commanding all the handmaids. Everything has to be perfect.
That's what I'm saying. We're always bending over backwards for other races, right? Why not? So you're saying that if she were going to their home world, they would be doing Naboo customs?
No, they wouldn't. That's my whole point, is that she's bending over backwards to make sure that they feel comfortable, which I get, but also it's kind of like they're in your world, girl. I mean, they're in your house in Coruscant, man. I mean, they gotta bend a little bit. If you go over there, then yeah, you don't use Naboo customs, and you don't expect them to have Naboo customs. You expect to be Arthurianly, yes. What's the word I'm looking for? Arthurianly welcome?
Arthurian. They're not Athenian.
Arthurian. No, it's Arthurian, isn't it?
Arthurian. You said Athenian. Yeah.
Oh,
Athenian.
Sorry, Arthurians. So many races. Again, we gotta get our flashcards down. We've got to. I don't know. It was okay. I'm not a huge fan of these Forces of Destiny comic runs from IDW. I don't know. Maybe they're geared toward kids, so I mean, you know, I'm not like a younger audience when it comes to comic books. So
is that what a child thinks a fork looks like? Because those forks are messed up.
Yeah, they're little like little tridents, weren't they?
They're like little harpsichords or something.
Well, I mean, Ahsoka immediately knew, why would someone need one of these if... Dun-dun-dun.
But she said, we don't need forks. It wasn't weird to her. It's weird to me, because how do you stab anything with that thing?
Well, yeah, it's not like a... Yeah, I agree. That's the whole point of this comic, is that the forks were really weird. And I think we've gotten to the heart of the entire comic.
They were weird to you, and they were weird to me, but they weren't weird to Padme, and they weren't weird to Ahsoka.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree with that. They look like little, like...
It was weird that they were there. That's what tipped them off to the whole thing. You know, neat little detail. But anyway, did Padme kill the shapeshifter by hitting her on the head?
I think so, yeah. That's what I thought.
I mean, that's pretty brutal.
Yeah,
that's
well, she shifted back, right? I mean, I would think that means that you've at least lost consciousness. You can't...
At least.
You can't,
but that's
you can't
severe
hold up
head
your
trauma.
Glimmer. Yeah, yeah, but you can't hold up your glimmer anymore.
She clocked her. With like a big heavy, I can't remember what it was, big heavy column or vase or something.
Padme has killed.
Knocked her out.
Padme has killed and will kill again.
You're right.
So, I mean, you know, it's just the way that the Republic Senate works.
It's still the casualness that she takes a life.
Oh, yeah. And then they kind of celebrate immediately afterwards, like in the next panel.
Yeah, that's right. They hold up two forks.
They hold up two forks, and they're like, cheers. And they just like literally
Here's
have
the murder.
They have a murdered body, and they have the Arthurians coming over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
It's talking about, and they're talking about like I'm starved.
Is this
famished.
Is this really a kid's comic? Now that I think about it, I'm kind of like, was this really geared toward kids?
It's messed up, man.
It is
messed up.
It is. I agree. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to the Forces of Destiny. The actual, I'm calling them webisodes because I'm pretty sure if I remember right, they came out on the web, and then Disney, you know, of course, owned them and has now thrown them onto the Disney Plus platform. Because there's some of them are like the one that we just watched was only like 4 minutes long, I think. But let me tell you. Go ahead.
You're calling them webisodes because it's apparently like 2015 or something.
No, they came out as webisodes.
Does anybody say webisodes? No. Okay, fine. But does anybody say webisodes anymore?
No, because stuff comes out on streaming services or you just cast it to your device. There's no more. You're not watching anything on the web anymore.
Yeah, this would be back when you were like sitting, you know, I'll go to my computer, sit down and watch a web show.
I think it was less than 2015, man. It may be like 2012, 2013.
Oh, my God. Middle Ages.
Yeah, just coming out of the Dark Ages. I mean, we just didn't, you know, we didn't know really how to do things with you know, JavaScript.
But that whole, to me, that term gets to a mindset that is antiquated, right? Because now you have a multi-device, you know, lots of different streaming options. They have little short episodes. They have featurettes. They have all these things to promote their IP.
Maybe featurettes is probably the better term.
It's just a given now.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's a given.
Yeah, and a lot of times, too, you'll see... especially with the Disney shows, you'll see like the makings of, like little like 10-minute makings of at the end of each of the different seasons on the actual service provider.
And yes.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Featurettes. All right. I will not use the term webisodes anymore. I will only use featurettes.
No, keep using webisodes because, you know, that just dates you like crazy.
I'll harken back to the webisodes. So this webisode.
My day. Yeah.
This 4-minute webisode is a pretty crucial piece to the entire Star Wars universe.
Friggin' pointless.
You're joking.
Go ahead. How's it so critical?
Ahsoka just learned of the romance between Padme and Anakin.
You're reading into that.
No, I'm not. She says it at the end of the episode, John. She says, just like you two.
She says you make a good team. You make a good team.
Just like you two. Wink,
just like
wink.
You two. Yeah, you two make a good team. She does not wink. She does not wink.
John, this...
No, no, no.
Okay, here's the deal. This was the point.
There might be a smirk on her face. There might be
no,
a smirk on her face.
She knows. She ain't stupid. She knows what's going on. She's not dumb. And that was
I
the point.
Presume to know
that was the on. Point at which she decided to keep their secret. And in keeping the secret, she did not let anybody know about it. And then that led to the events of Padme's death, Luke and Leia being born, all that kind of stuff, which then led to the events of her not trusting the council anymore and leaving it. I think this was...
So you're saying if she had narked right then when they get back.
Or any time in the near
changes
future.
Changes the history of the galaxy.
So you don't know where her path goes. Well, you may, because you may have read it, but you don't really know the future Clone Wars episodes that are pretty important.
That part goes dark to me. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I'm not going to ruin it for you, but there's a point at which she has to make some decisions, and she could have very easily been like, well, look, man, Anakin's got a guy. And also, too, well, we'll talk about that when we get to the Clone Wars episode. But
this is a jump ahead of ourselves here.
Yeah, but
how about this? You'll grant me this.
Okay.
If she knows, then it is a pivotal, crucial... like unbelievably crucial point
in a webisode. In a webisode.
Stop saying webisode. If she in doesn't, a featurette. No, if she was just echoing, you know, you two make good teams.
No,
so do you
no,
guys, you know,
no.
if that's what it was, then this is a pointless nothing episode.
No.
Episode featurette.
Featurette. Thank you. No, it's definitely this episode. This webisode definitely was here to convey that she knows because the smoke clears and Anakin is holding Padme. And she knows. That's why she's like, oh, I'm running up to the front. I'm going to act like I didn't see this. You know, she's like, I'm saving you all the embarrassment here or the knowing that I know. And I'm going to run up to the front. I'm commanding the ship. We're good. We're all good. She knows. She knows exactly. She's not stupid.
You just want this episode
no.
to mean so much.
I don't care about this webisode in the long run. I do think, though, that it was meant to show that. And that was a very, very, very pivotal point in the Skywalker saga, in Ahsoka, in all the stuff. All of it.
Hmm.
And we just saw it on a featurette webisode.
Yeah, how long was this thing? Like
4 minutes.
It was only 4 minutes?
It was only 4 minutes.
Seemed like a lot longer. That tells you how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean,
it's so stupid. They drop out of hyperspace. Why do they drop out of hyperspace? Why?
Yeah,
they just go right back in.
Yeah, and why do they... Well, and also, yeah, and then why do they go... Why does he change course? Yeah, I agree. The point of this webisode was to show that she now knows. And we're at 21 BBY. That's where we've been for like the past four episodes of this podcast. That's what it's supposed to be. I'm going to go back and research this because I'm about 95% positive that that was the gist of what this episode was supposed to show.
And to the point of being new information, nothing had indicated that before.
I don't think so. I don't know. Nothing that we've watched.
That's a pretty big bombshell to just drop into a little featurette. A little nothing featurette.
Yeah, it's a nothing webisode. I don't know why they dropped it into this. And that's what I was really amazed, because I sat there and started playing it and was like, this thing's 4 minutes long. What is this going to be? And then you get the ha ha ha, we're going on a trip by ourselves. Oh no, wait, here comes Ahsoka's the third wheel. And then I'm like, okay, is this just going to be another, like, because we've done that path of show for like four episodes, I think. There were Clone Wars episodes where it was like that. There was a comic book that we read that was like that. Remember where they go to the weird actresses starship, and they're supposed to be on vacation, just the two of them, and you know, I totally thought it was going to be a write off, and then I started watching it, and I was like, no way, is this really doing this in this little featurette? So yeah, I think it was a very important featurette, and I think it's maybe overlooked. I don't know. I totally got that drift. I really think that the writer was trying to show that. I really do.
But okay, so here's the question. So she knows. She didn't tell anybody.
Nope.
And that, had she told anyone, that would have changed the course of history. She doesn't tell anyone. So what is the point of us knowing that she knows?
I think it confirms what she has always suspected, maybe. And then we now know that anything going forward.
We know that she knows that they know that she knows.
No, I don't know if they still think they're pulling the shades over her, or if this was supposed to show that last little bit with Padme was just kind of like, look, I know what's going on. I'm not going to say it out loud. You're not going to say it out loud, but we both know what's going on. We both know I know what's
going
on.
If you read into her saying, you know, you guys make a great team too, Padme's response is just as eyebrow raising.
She pauses.
Thank you, Ahsoka.
She pauses a little bit. Pauses a little bit. And then it's like,
she's saying, yeah,
does she know?
Secret. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh no, it wasn't a power move. It was No.
It was a thank you. Thank you for keeping my secret. I know.
Oh, okay.
You know now.
Yes.
So we know that she knows that Ahsoka knows that she knows.
Everyone knows. Who's on first? I mean, it's just like it. Yeah. Like
Anakin doesn't know. Anakin doesn't know, does he?
Anakin's a guy. I don't think he got it.
Exactly.
He's probably like, that's right, Ahsoka. You didn't see anything. He's like waving his hand around. Like, you didn't see anything. That doesn't work on me. I'm a Jedi. All right. Let's move on to the Clone Wars episode. We've been talking about a 4 minute webisode for way too long.
Yes.
All right.
Moving on from the featurette.
Clone Wars Season 3, Episode 10, Heroes on Both Sides. Banking Clan, in my notes I have Banking Clan, pretty legit. They don't give a crap. They are in it for the money.
They're the Banking Clan.
I know they're the Banking Clan.
The Banking Clan's in it for the bread. You're not really saying much there.
Fair enough. Playing both sides, I get it. It amazes me that Palpatine or Dooku would let them know about the ultimate evil plan. Because that would make multiple people in the two senators, or the three senators, one's the Banking Clan guy, and the other two are other senators. What was her? Nix Card is the dude with the super long face.
Yeah.
And then you had Senator Lot Dodd and Senator Gume Sam. And I think Gume Sam was the little mantis-looking guy. I don't know how to describe that species. Everybody seems intent on killing Padme or getting her out of the way so that they can get this thing signed and deregulated, all the banks, all this other kind of stuff. And that really means that all three of those people are working with Dooku, which means that they totally understand that they are members of the Senate working with the opposition and that everybody's going to be rich. But it's also like loose ends. Like Palpatine, like I guess Dooku's the proxy and they don't know who Palpatine really is.
It has to be like that.
Okay, because
all they see is the payday. All they see is the bankroll coming in.
Okay, all right, that solves a little bit, because I'm like,
it's not going to happen to me. I'm powerful. I'm rich.
Sure, but also,
that's how people think.
It amazes me that you have, at this point, like however many, just 1,600 Jedi running around, and not one of them has stumbled upon the fact that these three senators are like totally on the opposite side. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading into it a little wrong.
They can know that they have ulterior motives, but so what? So, I mean, how many people, we've addressed this before, how many people in the Senate? Like thousands?
Yeah, but they're literally talking to Dooku and Grievous, like on the phone calls.
Well, they may not know that aspect of it, or maybe they do.
I just.
It's very complicated.
Let me just say this. If I was Palpatine, trusting someone like Dooku or Grievous would be a very big step, because you are literally, like, trying to command the entire galaxy, right? Like you're trying to command everything under the sun, or not everything under the sun, everything under all the suns. Like you're trying to control everything. You're trying to pull
the
biggest conspiracy scheme that will literally eliminate the Jedi, who are probably the most powerful faction in the galaxy at this point. It will completely eliminate them, and you tell other people, other senators in the Senate, you know they're gonna talk. They're gonna be at some party and be like, nah man, we're making a bunch of money over here with the banking clan, you know. And it just seemed a little too unbelievable that, like, I don't know, maybe Dooku would talk to the long face dude, Nix Card. I could see him talking to him and being like, look, you're on our side, you're on the end, but don't tell these guys, but kind of make them puppet, you know, puppet them around a little bit, get them to say some stuff that we can get this deregulation passed.
Right.
I don't know. It must be what you just said, where Dooku is the proxy. It has to be.
It's meant to, well, first of all, it's meant to, you know, propel the plot, period. But yeah, it's also, I think, meant to indicate that it's more complicated than you think. There are wheels turning within wheels, you know, people with all kinds of different and sometimes contradictory motivations.
Oh, the writer did a very good job in having this completely auxiliary story, almost, you know, that sits on the side that you really don't think about, but then you're kind of like, yeah, it makes sense. They're going to need the banking clan. You know, everybody wants to make money. They got to make some people happy on both sides to be able to pull this whole thing off. So give the writers credit for, and actually this is part one of a part two series, so we're going to see more of it, but you know, give the writers credit for kind of exploring other parts of the war. I will say that. I do enjoy the fact that we're looking at this. It's hard for me to believe. I'm like, really? I mean, they're going to like tell all these other guys what's really going on? No, they're not going to do that. They're keeping it close to the chest.
Well, I still think it was good. I guess the A story, that was really kind of the B story, right? The A story is going to the planet, yep. Padme and Ahsoka, and trying to meet with Bonteri.
Yeah, what's really weird about the Bonteri chick is I remember her being kind of adversarial in the what was the book we read? Queen's Peril, I think is what it was. I remember her being kind of adversarial, and then in this episode they're kind of like, yeah, she was my mentor. You know, she was the best.
Oh yeah, like old friends.
And then, not going to give anything away, but Lux comes back a bunch later on. Lux Bonteri, the son. So seeing him and Ahsoka is pretty neat together. I'd never seen this episode before, so I thought it was good. I thought it was a good episode. What'd you think? Did you like it?
Overall, yes. I like the reason I mentioned the A story, the going to the Confederacy to talk with her old friend and mentor, is it's always good to flesh out your villains, right? They don't need to be...
Agreed.
They shouldn't be cardboard cutouts, because then it's not interesting. You know, you need to kind of get where they're coming from.
Do you think they did a good job conveying that Mina Bonteri has honest political feelings, that Dooku is right? I think that they did a pretty good job on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
she
was very not... let's not talk about that, but let's talk about how we get to a piece. You know, like, it was very... Like, I disagree with you. Like, point blank, I disagree with you, Padme, but this is the way I feel, and we both know how we feel, so let's work toward a solution that we're not, you know, killing each other or what have you. So I thought that was very well written. I think overall it was probably one of the best written episodes that I've seen in a while.
I would agree with that. It was very good. Good tension. Those sweeper droids.
Yes.
Those are like when they like expand or when you stand up, they're like,
yeah,
pretty creepy.
And it's also kind of like, where did the other 50% of mass come from that we're now seeing? But yeah, but they were very creepy, and they didn't pull any punches. They were just shooting up the room, so they didn't care. Goodbye, yeah. Goodbye, humans.
Just how it should be.
I didn't understand the clone trooper that let them in had like a symbol on his chest, like he was some kind of different type of clone trooper. I need to look that up, because I didn't know what that was. Did you notice that?
I didn't notice that. Nope.
Okay, yeah, the guy that like checks their pass and all that kind of stuff. He has this like big like skull on his stormtrooper outfit, which I didn't think that at that point that they were like kind of like branched off into different stormtrooper sets or whatever at that time. But I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, that was
you're talking about a force of how many thousands of you know people in the military.
Yeah. No, I guess, yeah, I guess.
It's going
to happen. Well, and also, too, maybe they were trying to show that those are the people that actually guard the Senate or something special like that. And they're like a right. little bit higher, you know, thing than most people.
Yeah.
Okay. Second thing that I have in my notes that I didn't like. The scene where they're in the Federalist, it's the Federation of Systems. What do you call them? The Separatist Movement, I guess the Separatist Senate or the Separatist Congress.
The Confederacy of Independent Systems.
The Confederacy of Independent Systems Senate. They're a big room that looked just like London for some reason. I don't know why it looked like London. You know, the ones you see on all the things. Yeah. But all those people know exactly who Padme is. And maybe some of them know who Ahsoka is. And they're able to just sit and watch a Senate vote while it happens when all these people are their sworn enemies. Like, literally, they are destroying troops of these people, you know, dated, like a couple of episodes ago, they're flying in on things and just literally wiping droids out. And they're just sitting in the Senate like it's okay, nobody's going to recognize this? I don't know, that was very weird to me.
Well, I mean, everything falls apart if you think about it too much, Eric.
I know, but I mean, it just, they should have been like, all right, we're taking the shuttle back, give me a signal if, you know, this passes or doesn't pass. They're not going to go sit in the Senate where they used to work.
Or at least in some plausible disguise. That would have
yeah, been. Yeah, a plausible disguise, not just a hood over you. But yeah, that's the Star Wars thing, though. I mean, that, you know, just put the hood over you, nobody's going to recognize you.
That's right.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, good point. I enjoyed the episode overall. I thought it was pretty good. I thought there was a lot of action in it, a lot of fast-moving storyline, and the storyline was written really well.
Yeah, I agree.
Give me a 1-100.
Oh, have we done that lately? 1-100, gosh.
We are now, John.
1-100. I want to say... Really, I think my gut says like a 79.
Okay, I was going to go a little higher than you. I was going to say 83, 84. But we're in the same ballpark.
Yeah, that's too high for me.
Yeah, well, my numbers are usually a little bit higher than yours. So if you did like the curve system, that's probably about where we're, you know, we probably land about the same place. It was a good episode. Filler, but not filler. Yeah, I don't know. It was good. I liked it.
Well, no, I would say it's not really filler because it is highlighting how the two sides get to the point where there just is no more negotiating. There's too much bad blood.
Yeah, and it shows distrust. And it shows how Palpatine is able to engineer whatever he wants, pretty much. Like, yeah. whatever he wants.
Puppet
like,
master, yeah, behind the scenes.
Yeah, deregulate the banks, just print the money. We're good. Yeah, it's pretty good. Okay, John, so we're done with Star Wars. Let's head into the geekery portion of the podcast. For those that usually don't listen, we usually talk about the where we are on the Star Wars timeline and what we watched, and then now we kind of get into kind of other geeky stuff that we keep up with. And what else you been watching, man?
So I discovered this show. I don't think anybody's ever heard of it. And I just binged the crap out of it.
Okay.
It is called What We Do in the Shadows.
There have been people that have heard of this, John. Just letting you know.
I know. I often will. We kind of talked about it before where I don't want to take up a show unless it's got a good run.
Yeah, you do say that. You usually, like on the podcast that I just listened to today, you do always say that you want to have at least a good 2 or 3 seasons under the belt.
I got that from William. So
yeah.
I thought that this was still a nascent, you know, just maybe a season or two. And I was delighted to see that I think it's 5, right? 6 is coming out soon, but 5 seasons. And so I gave it a shot and fell in love.
So now that you say 5 or 6, I think I've only seen maybe 1 through 4. So I maybe
pretty sure. Yeah, I watched all 5, and I think 6 is coming out. Or yeah. Maybe it's all 4 and 5 is coming out.
Yeah, I may be behind then because I thought I'd caught up on that show. But it's a great show. It's very funny, and then the movie, of course, the movie's really good. It's a funny show.
There's a movie?
Yes, there's a movie. You didn't know about the movie?
No, I didn't know about the movie.
It's a very good movie. It's a very good movie. It's the thing that started it all. It's got Jermaine and from Flight of the Conchords. It's got the guy, what's the guy that flies the Concords? The guy that's the travel agent, the Kiwi guy.
I know who you're talking about.
Our flag means death.
Isn't he? Yeah, right. I was gonna say he's in Our Flag Means Death.
Yeah, he's very funny in it too. Yeah, you need to watch.
Now I gotta watch that.
Yeah, the movie, I don't think the movie's like a prequel or anything. So I think it's just like kind of the same idea translated into the TV show. So it's not like you had to watch it to enjoy the TV show at all.
Well, so not really saying anything new, but the writing is so good.
The writing is
so freaking good.
It's quick too. Like it's
very peppy. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Quick on his feet. Absolutely.
So did you watch Our Flag Means Death?
That one, I think I got an episode and a half into it and said, I'm going to come back to this, and I haven't gone back to it.
Okay. I haven't watched it yet, so that's why I want to watch it. It's on my list.
Did not clearly hook me the way Shadows did.
Speaking of Hook, have you watched Loki? Have you been watching Loki? Oh, just so everybody knows, we don't care about spoilers anymore. About 3 or 4 episodes, we decided, forget the spoilers. We're not worried about spoilers. So, fair warning. Any show that we start to talk about, we'll talk about spoilers all the way up until whenever the last show came out. So, anyways, Loki. So,
to answer your question, no. I am letting Loki run a little bit to get me to build up some
library runway
of episodes. Yeah, so I can run with.
Okay.
And I can't remember if there's something else I'm letting do that too. Maybe it's Doom Patrol.
I don't know that I've ever watched Doom Patrol. Loki, I watched the first episode and was very confused. And then kind of put it off, and I haven't gone back to watch anything since. I don't know. I'll watch it. I'm probably doing the same thing as you subconsciously, and then I'm letting it get a bunch of episodes under its belt before I go watch them. My son watched it, and he said that episode 2 explains a lot. But it didn't grab me. It didn't grab me.
That's disappointing to hear. So, well, what did you think of the first season?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Absolutely.
I thought it was above average. Not great, above average.
I thought it was really good. I enjoyed the introduction to the multiverse and how they did it and how they kind of went. At the end was a little bit different, but it was good. I liked it a lot. It's okay. I don't know. I'll tell you what I have enjoyed. Did you watch season 1 of Wheel of Time, right?
I did. And I'll tell you this. I should go back and watch it again.
No, go get a recap.
In a lead up to watching season 2, but there's no chance of me doing that.
Yeah, go watch a 30-minute recap on YouTube. That's all I did.
It's new. It's unknown IP to me. I don't know its books, right? I don't know the books.
Yeah.
So didn't really do much for me.
Yeah, I read books 1 through 5 and was not disappointed by the first season, but I was kind of like, yeah, it's good. It's a good, decent adaptation. Amazon's spending pretty decent money on it. Season 2 is way better. And I think it's just because there's so many characters in the show. You have to do introductions. You have to learn who the characters are the whole first season. Season 2, they just hit the ground running. They're like, you better have seen season 1 or at least a summary of it because we'll give you a little like 2-minute flashback to May show stuff in season 1. But, yeah, we're hitting the ground running. And the story was excellent. It was very well done. Covers the second book very well. And even some of the third book, really. And it was really good. Really, really good. I highly suggest it.
Well, I mean, that's I'm very glad to hear that. Now I want to watch it. I just find it hard to believe, given all the big news lately of all these shows being canceled, how does that show have enough of an audience?
I think justify
a season 3.
I don't know. I mean, I know there's the books were extremely popular. I mean, they were very tedious books, and the way Robert Jordan wrote was very descriptive, which got on my nerves sometimes because it would be like 3 pages of a wag describing a wagon. But like they were good overall if you had the time to read them. I read them back in like college because I would never have the time to read them now. I actually tried to reread them back whenever season 1 came out. I was like, I can't do this all the time. I understand where you're coming from. I think that if it came down to Bezos having to choose between that and the Rings of Power, he'd probably err on the side of Rings of Power, you know, if he had to cut one, just because I think that one's probably a little bit more popular just because of the Lord of the Rings movies, and the Hobbit movies and that whole trilogy and everything. And people already kind of know that world. It's a little bit easier to tell the story, but, don't sleep on Wheel of Time. It's pretty good. Season 2 was really good. I actually really enjoyed it.
I can't remember what show it was, but recently I read about one that was canceled. It was either season 2 or maybe it was season 3, and it really ticked me off because I was into that show.
Oh, you don't remember which one it was?
No, it was some, I don't know.
Do you remember if it was Amazon or if it was some other place?
It was a streaming service show. I don't know. There's too many of them.
Okay, so we talked about it a little bit on Geekery last time. You watched, or not last time, but maybe two or three podcasts ago, Invasion. And you really like season one of Invasion. Are you giving season two runway before you start watching it, or have you watched it?
I'm giving it so much runway because I'm churning, and right now Apple is not up to bat.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, I see what you're saying. So you like,
there's too many services. There's just too many services.
There's totally.
So you rotate, and my latest one was Paramount.
What'd you watch on Paramount? Apple, besides the Star Trek.
Oh, it's all Star Trek.
Oh, okay, okay.
The Strange New Worlds, Picard, Season 3, you know, all that stuff.
You haven't watched Season 2 of Invasion yet, so I'm not going to talk about it until you do, and we'll discuss it.
Or Season 2 of Foundation.
Oh, or Season 2 of Foundation, I watched that too.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give you a high-level grade on Season 2 of Foundation. It's pretty good, too. It really is. I actually liked it better than Season 1, if I'm being honest.
You were more impressed with season one than I was.
Yeah, I was. And then season two was pretty good. Now, I didn't read the books, though. So that's like me going into Wheel of Time, or like you going into Wheel of Time. I did not read the books, so I don't know what's supposed to happen and whether they're paralleling it or not paralleling it. It sounded like, if I remember right from our conversation of season one, you thought that it did not parallel the books all too much, but it was still pretty decent.
Well, you're talking about season one of Foundation?
Correct, Foundation.
Oh, it's just like the names are the same, and that's it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and that's fine. I'm not one of those fans where, oh, dare you. No, go off and tell your own story. I understand why you're dragging the Foundation name along, because that gets you an insta fan base until you tick them off. But go off, tell your own story. And they did it. They did tell a nice, interesting story. Towards the end, I got a little, like, this is a little much.
So yeah. I was gonna say that was jumbled. The last episode of one was so fast.
Yeah,
and they don't change that in season two. It's not bad. It's just it's everything just happens. Like
so yeah, they can go off and tell their story, and that's fine. It the only part that kind of bothers me is, man, if you had put Foundation up on the screen. How amazing that would be.
I think that there's a I don't want to call it an algorithm, but I think that certain streaming services want to tell a whole story in different ways. I think that Apple, and maybe to a point Amazon, really put a lot of emphasis on that season finale. Whereas I think Disney uses a lot of that kind of Lost formula where you put everything into the second to last episode of the season. And then the last episode just kind of wraps stuff up. What were we talking about the other day? Yeah, what were we talking about the other day where we were like, that was the last episode? Really? That's how we're going to do it? Oh, we were discussing it on Discord.
Was it Ahsoka?
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's where we're going next. Yeah, so Ahsoka.
Yeah, let's talk about Ahsoka. That's what it was. That's exactly what it was. We were both just...
We've not discussed the big episode 5, have we?
We haven't discussed any of Ahsoka, I don't think.
Well, yeah, but who cares? Episode 5.
Okay, episode 5 of Ahsoka was magnanimous. It was
magnanimous, you say?
Magnanimous. It was absolutely great. And then 6 was a hangover.
I don't even remember what 6 was.
Exactly.
What was 6?
Exactly. 6 was
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, 6 was the season finale that didn't do anything.
That was only 6? No.
Was it 6 or 8? I can't remember now. I think it was 6.
No, because 5 didn't 5 end with them getting into the Purrgils?
The Purrgil, yeah. The whales.
And you know, hyperspeeding towards the galaxy.
Yeah, you are definitely right. So that means that 8 was the last one. I thought 7 was the magnanimous. Well, how many episodes are there, John? Let's look this up. TV, time it up.
So 6 would have been them arriving at the Ezra planet, and gosh, 7 would have been the build up to the final conflict. And 8, the final, you know, battle and getaway and all that.
Episodes. Here we go. Season 1. 8 episodes. So,
yeah,
Dreams and Madness was my favorite episode. That was episode 7. Episode 5 was good. I agree episode 5 was good. Actually, episode 6 was good. And episode 8 wasn't bad. But episode 8 to me just didn't seem like a finale. It didn't seem like a finale. Like it left me wanting so much more, and like it didn't close any loops. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, that I think writers would say that's a good thing, right?
No, I know.
We don't want to close all the loops, but so you gotta satisfied.
But you gotta give a little bit of something, don't you?
Just Ezra got back. There you go.
Oh, that was a terrible thing, though. I mean, it was a terrible thing. It was just like, they're not going to shoot him on sight. Like,
yeah, he shows up in for no reason wearing the Stormtrooper helmet.
And it's not even Stormtrooper armor. It's like the weird zombie Stormtrooper armor. They're not going to be like, what the hell is this? Chow, pew, pew, yeah. Pew, pew, dead. See ya, Ezra. It's just like, oh. But that, man, yeah, I agree with you. The last, I'm going to take that back. 5, 6, and 7 were excellent. They really were excellent. It was Dave Filoni's dream on screen, and it looked good. I didn't feel like there was any CGI. There was one part of CGI where she jumps off a ship and kind of like does this like, Ahsoka does this like tumble roll thing to join a fight. That looked kind of bad. But other than that, everything else just looked brilliant. It looked great. It looked absolutely awesome. I don't think anything looked awkward. Fighting sequences. Really, really enjoy the kind of Game of Thrones-esque. Really, really enjoyed the whole Baylan storyline, which, you know, I'm disappointed that we won't probably see that much more of that, or maybe we will, they'll replace the actor. I'm not sure how they're going
to
do
that. That was very disappointing to find that out, because
yeah, it really
you
was.
Talk about wanting more. It's like, okay, that guy, cool look. He's got the cool look.
He's got everything. It is Game of Thrones in Star Wars.
Yeah. And you know, what's he looking at? What's he staring at? What's off in the distance? What's
great
in the
mountains? Actor for that part.
And we'll never know.
Great actor.
Yeah,
for that
great
part.
Actor. Great,
I mean,
great actor.
Just absolutely. And also, too, I didn't realize until episode 2 that he had passed away already. And I saw the thing on episode 1.
I didn't know until after the end. That's when William told me. He was like, oh, yeah, by the way, he died.
Being like, okay, they're probably not going to focus too much on this character. And then he ends up being pretty integral to the storyline. And I'm just like, this...
Is he, though?
I think he is.
Tangential.
No, I think he's tangential. He was supposed to be tangential
season. He did get the map. Okay, so that's fine. Yeah, I guess that's pretty critical.
Dude, he sees Sauron out there in the distance. He's going to Sauron while standing on a big statue.
That's what I said. Yeah, he's looking at Mount Doom.
It's pretty awesome. It was pretty... I hope, you know, it's terrible that he's not... That actor is not going to be back, because he was amazing. But I have to suspect that the storyline is going to continue, or that part of that storyline is going to continue. I mean, he's staring wistfully up the mountain that looks pure evil. You know,
so they can recast him, and they can't recast Black Panther?
I don't know. Where did that come from? Okay, I mean, yeah, sure.
Well, if they're going to pick if they're going to pick up that storyline, they're going to have to recast the guy.
Yeah, they're going to have to recast the guy.
Yeah, so they can do that, but they can't do it with... What's the guy's name? Jonathan Majors? Winners? What was the...
Are you talking about Kang or Black Panther? Like, I think
But yes to both. Yes and yes.
Okay, Black Panther, I can understand them not wanting to... Or coming up with a different iteration of Black Panther. Like the Suri. I mean, like I totally fine with that. Chadwick Boseman was amazing. Yeah, that's fine. That doesn't bother me if they don't want to recast that character. Not at all. Kang... Kang's like a big alien guy in a suit. I mean, he could just kind of...
Recast him.
Yeah, recast him.
What's
I agree.
The problem?
I agree.
But they're not, are they?
No, well...
I keep reading, they're in a quandary because they can't recast him.
Did you read that Vanity Fair article I posted the other day?
I did not.
You need to read that article. It's really good. It talks about how basically all the Disney creatives kind of made camp in Palm Springs for like 2 weeks. It's like a creative summit. And in all the years past, it's been a very jolly kind of romping... Creative Summit, and they said that I think the last 2 years has not been at all, because the Jonathan Majors thing, trying to figure out storylines, it sounds like he was so ingrained in the main parts of all these shows and movies coming out, that if something does happen to where, you know, he's not acting anymore in these things, or maybe he's not anymore, I don't know if they dropped him or not, but that it has to alter the storylines immensely.
Recast him.
I'm in agreement with you. Recast the guy. It doesn't bother me.
I mean, it's first of all, I understand with Black Panther. This is a multiverse situation. He can look different.
Exactly. He can look slightly different. I totally agree with that. Yeah, and you're right. The story does kind of lend itself to recasting almost.
Yep.
Yeah, good call.
It's just really frustrating. I don't understand the hesitation. I don't understand. And I will freely admit my ignorance of the industry. I'm sure there are... probably good logistical reasons, but just move on. I mean,
I wonder if there's something to do with the way the CGI works, and they've got his facial features already done and a bunch of stuff.
Oh, they can't scan a new guy?
I don't know, John. I'm not
the scanner's full.
I'm not a, what do they call the engineers? A mouse engineer, whatever you call it?
Mouseketeers? Imagineer.
No, Imagineer, yeah. I'm not an Imagineer. I don't know how easy that is. I'm just saying, I am in agreement with you. Recast the dude and continue your story. Because if they start flipping to something like in the Vanity Fair article, they kind of mention that some people had talked about flipping the big baddie to be Dr. Doom. Yeah, I mean, sure, but that's going to ruin so much that you've already done, and it's going to make half of what you've already said.
That would make no sense at all.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I don't recast. I'm fully in the boat of recasting for Kang and continue on. Like, what are some really good recasts that we've seen that didn't bother me at all? I'm trying to think. I know there's been a couple of them that I've been like, yeah, I can deal with that.
Oh God, that's a listicle if I've ever heard of one.
Yeah, there's got to be a big list out there. Just people that have been recast and nobody cared. I remember the main guy from Game of Thrones in season one was not the same. Oh, in Wheel of Time. Yeah, actually, in Wheel of Time, season one to season two, the guy who plays Matt Cawthorn completely changed. And they look very similar. So I think that people may or may not think about it. Game of Thrones was definitely the guy that changed in season one to season two. Harry Potter, actually. I was about to say Gandalf died. Whenever, sorry. The sour beer. Yeah, what's his name? What's
Dumbledore?
Dumbledore. I'm sorry, man. Sorry, I'm not a Potterhead. All right. Yeah, when Dumbledore died, that was a pretty good recasting, I felt.
That was a very good recasting, and he just recently passed away as well.
Did he really? Oh, man.
Yep.
Remind me not to play Dumbledore. Let's see here. That's the ones that I can come up with off the top of my head that I saw the recast, understood the recast, was just like, yeah, whatever, I'll keep going. I can't think.
Yeah, I can't. I'm sure that there are many. You know what? I just thought of one.
What?
So Terrence Howard played.
Iron Man. Good call.
Good call.
Yeah.
And then he asked for too much money.
Yeah. And
I remember that.
Yeah, you're right. That's another good recast.
So, and I thought that was a great recast.
And that means that there's been one in the House of the Mouse that went over swimmingly.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good one.
I went over more than swimmingly. Who's that? Who's the actor who replaced him?
Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle. Cheadle. Love Don. Love me to some Don Cheadle.
Yeah, he's done great. He's absolutely done great. And I think Iron Wars is a new. I want to say that they announced it as a series, but now it's going to be
Armor
a
Wars?
Movie.
You talking about Armor?
Yeah, maybe. Sorry. Yeah, Armor Wars, not Iron Wars. You're right.
Yeah.
They announced it as a series, I think, and then they've changed it to a movie now. I'm not sure, just because they were already in production.
Oh, I didn't know that. I was looking forward to that.
No. Yeah, it's still going to be a movie. It's just coming out in like 2025, I think, now.
No. Well, we've had the discussion, and we're going to have to wrap it up here soon, but we've had a discussion where it's getting to where when they put enough budget behind something, you want it as a series. Because then you have a 9-hour movie.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
not 2 hours of something. Give me 9 freaking hours of something.
And I've always wondered, too, that AI is going to make that a little bit easier, just with the computer animation and all that kind of stuff.
AI is going to make everything easier.
I know, John. I know your feelings on AI.
I'm going to love the work camps I get assigned to.
The work camps. I'm just saying that it's going to make it a little bit easier for them to stretch out the CGI budgets, I think, on some of these things. And maybe we'll notice a little bit of a hit when something moves from a movie down to a series, but I will be willing to take
it. Did we talk about the AI intro credits for Secret Invasion?
Secret Invasion. I think we have. If not, then I'm going to say that I didn't care.
I'll say I didn't care, but the style was immediately recognizable, and that kind of threw me off.
I think that's just because we're in the early stages of it right now. It'll get totally better to where we can't make it. It'll be
thing. But they made the choice at the time, given that, to go with that. And it's like, that was a choice? Choice?
Well, let me say this. What if it wasn't a stylistic choice? It was a marketing choice because they knew everybody would talk about it.
Huh. You viral little son of a bitch.
Sorry, I'm just saying, like what if they honestly were like, look, it looks 50% as good as if we had human hands do it. We can do it for 25% of the cost, and everybody's gonna be like, they're using AI. Oh my gosh. Yes, go watch the intro. Oh well, then I'll stay around for the other hour for the show. You know what I mean? So it's kinda like, yeah, it was probably
interesting.
I think there was a strategy in there. But regardless, I didn't care. So
it's not your livelihood that's affected.
Game of Thrones, I thought, had a neat intro. Westworld had a great intro. Other than that, I rarely pay attention to intros.
Westworld?
Yeah, I remember Westworld, where the guys in
the credits.
Building the robot. I guess it's the credits. Talk about the first.
Intro credits.
The intro, yeah.
Yeah, the intro.
Usually had a really good song, had the piano, and then had like the guys building. I thought it was good.
There are very few, and this could be a whole topic. There are very few intros that I play through every time. I mean, I could probably count them on one hand easily.
Give me a quick list.
Game of Thrones was one of them.
Totally agree with that. Because it also kind of told you a little bit where the story
told you a little
headed.
Bit. Yep. That's right, and totally set the mood.
Okay, let me ask you this: did you watch the ending credits for Ahsoka?
No.
So the ending credits on Ahsoka, each one would direct you. They were different. Each of them was different, and they would direct you about the planets that they visited, and then also the planets that they might visit, because they would show pathways to the next series of kind of planet. So the people that really paid attention to the end credits of Ahsoka were able to, and the planet names were not like in whatever the language is for Mandalorian and all. I don't know, standard galactic, whatever it is, you know, whatever the writing thing is,
galactic standard.
Yeah, we'll go with galactic standard,
something like that.
It probably is. I just don't know. Yeah. So, but basically, the people were able to decode each episode and say, hey, it's now leading to a planet that's like way out here. So maybe they're going in the next episode to a different galaxy. Like they were able to kind of like. They knew what they were doing when they created the outros, because people
they're
were
basically
like,
spoiling it for the people desperate enough to actually decode that crap.
I don't know if they spoiled it. I think they just kind of said that like they had a line going way out, so people were like, oh, well, where are they going? Like that's like way out there. That's not even in the outer rim. Like what's going on? Like I think
the whole series was a setup around we've got to get to this planet in another galaxy.
Well, wait, let's talk about this though real quick and real fast. I know we're bordering on an hour. From the very beginning of every episode, you know how it shows that blue and red helmets of everybody?
Yes.
And did you see that Ahsoka, you know, everything was fine. So, and then you always saw Sabine's helmet and it was red. And everybody was kind of like, what's going on? Why is Sabine's red? Like, what's going to happen that's red? And it was a very good little, like, not marketing thing, but it was a very good little like note.
Easter egg.
Yeah, like Easter egg thing that just kind of showed that everybody's like, well, she's going to be bad. She's going to be bad. And then whenever she actually hands the map over, you're like, oh, she is bad. She's straight up bad. And then it's not. She's good. She's good for the rest of the thing. She recognized her problem. She solved it and told everybody about it and told Ahsoka about it. And they solved it. But like, I love the fact that everybody was like waiting for her to be bad based on something on the intro. And then she actually does be quote unquote bad for like one spot instance. And you have this whole backing of like, oh yeah, she's been bad the whole time. She's been bad the whole time. And then like the next episode is like a complete 180. And she's like, I screwed up. You know? I thought it was really well done. I really enjoyed that. I think that was a Filoni special and I was just like, that was pretty cool. I really enjoyed that.
It sounds like it. I had no idea. Whatever you call that. What do you call that? Where it's like a pre-intro?
It's like you only see it with big IPs. I don't know what you call that. Because Marvel's got where it's got the pages that flip and all that kind of stuff.
That's right. It's like the Marvel thing where they're flipping the pages. It's like, welcome, you know, come into this world. You're in our universe now. I've loved it with Star Wars. It's really a great mood setter.
Oh, it's a great mood setter. And also, too,
I know it had meaning.
Like, I always remember people were freaked out when the original Matrix movie came out because it had the WB logo, but it was in that green that you saw the screen on. Like, the computer green.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
That was good.
Paramount. They did that with Paramount in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Big deal.
Did they do that with Raiders of the Lost Ark?
The mountain in the Paramount logo becomes the mountain you see, and then like Andy steps in frame.
Okay, but that's a transition from whatever we call these things into the movie. Well, okay, fair enough. Okay, I get it. Yeah, that's probably a good little way to miss. We need to figure out, and we'll do this for the next podcast, what you call A, those things like the Marvel Disney thing, and then also B, who all has done the best kind of in a movie sense, who all has done the best transition, I guess you would call those. Into either A, the movie, or B, the actual, you know, intro or whatever. That's pretty good.
Using the studio logo.
Yes, using the studio logo.
Co-opting the studio logo.
Into the actual movie itself. I bet there's tons of people who have looked at this, but we'll go out and find that.
Sounds like another listicle, yeah.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk about the next episode. This is a good episode. I enjoy this. Good to be back. Summer was a bunch of travel. We're back in it. I'm going to start pushing these guys out every week or two. So, yeah, it's going to be good. And if you don't know where to find us, we're on pretty much every single... I mean, you have to know where to find us because you're listening to us now. But I'm just saying, we're still on Apple, Spotify, all those good ones. Although I think Spotify's been having some problems with our episode. I've got to research that, see what's going on. But yeah. And also go check out our website, 11parsecs.com. We've got all the different podcasts, all the transcripts, some other pages that show some of the characters we've talked about, some of the pages describe the beers we talk about, and also feel free to join our Discord. We have cool discussions like this all the time. John, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much, as always.
So thanks for joining us. We've got, I think it looks like, two Forces of Destiny episodes, one Clone Wars episode. We jump all the way to episode 11 of Clone Wars, which is kind of weird because I think we watched 10 tonight. So yeah, that would be the sequence. That would make sense. And then also Pursuit of Peace, which is a short story from Clone Wars Stories of Light and Dark. So we got a little bit of reading to do, a little bit of watching to do. Should be good. Episode 43 will probably be recorded next week and out the following week. So thanks everyone for joining us. John, I've already thanked you, so I'm not going to thank you again. And stay safe. Stay safe, everyone. Bye.
This is the 11 Parsecs Podcast, episode 42. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to subscribe and leave us a good review. And be sure to check us out at 11parsecs.com and Discord. I'm Jonathan Smith with MrInterwebs.com himself, Eric Thompson. Thank you for joining us.
Stop saying webisode.
Webisode. Webisode. Webisodes. Webisode. 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 Webisode.